of economic uncertainty and soaring.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. And the name of the program you're listening to is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the Bible these days, as most days we will. We started going through Judges yesterday, so we're beginning today with Judges. At chapter 6 and verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord, and as Yahuwah by name, delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And you know, I see a theme running throughout the book of Judges. And the theme goes like this. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And it's a terrible theme to have to read this about. A people that our Heavenly Father separated from him, for himself. A nation he raised up from Jacob, Israel, 12 tribes, brought them out of bondage into the wilderness, lost that whole generation because he couldn't get Egypt out of them. So he raised up a new generation, with the exception of a very few men. And I think as two men and perhaps their families and some of their children that from that prior generation that crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land. And then those men died. And very few men were able to come up behind them and keep the nation separated. So we find this terrible theme as we go through here where it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years." So we have in the book of Judges up through chapter 6, and I'm sure continuing on, where it goes back and forth. They even had a woman, Deborah. The Heavenly Father raised up a woman. Why? I guess because there was no man to lead the nation in righteousness. And it says, "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites to the children of the east, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. They encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come to Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it." You know, I see a problem here. And the problem is this. What does this prove so far? It proves that people will not serve the Heavenly Father for mere safety from their enemies. It seems like the children of Israel needed something that they were not getting, something they didn't have, something that would make them hold on to righteousness and cherish it. And I guess what it shows us is the children of Israel, yes, some would refer to them today as the Jews, and the children of Israel, just like all of the nations, all of the other nations, even though they had the book, even though I could say we have the book, if I refer to myself as being part of the nation that surrounds me, although there's no one cohesive nation that surrounds me any longer. I don't believe there really ever has been in my lifetime. You may have had pockets here and there, but not one cohesive nation. Really, I live in the midst of a more Babylonish, more Roman type of nation where everything is embraced. But here we had a singular nation, and still they had the Word. They had God as their King. They had the Creator, our Heavenly Father, as their King. And they had the government that He gave them, as I said, portrayed by one of the translators of the Scripture. They had the government of the people, by the people, for the people that the Creator gave them. And it all wasn't enough to keep them from falling into idolatry. They had the other nations around them to constantly wear them down and drag them into the idolatry that they were in. One, because they didn't utterly destroy and rout them out, so they were left there to tempt them and to try them. And men are tempted and tried, yes, on a national basis, but truly each one of us are tried on an individual basis by our Heavenly Father. And we have all these things around us to try us. You could go back to Adam and Eve, the first man and woman. If there was no evil to tempt them, then there would be no trial, would there? So all of these things are a trial for us. And what will we choose? That is the question. Not for me to ask you, or for you to ask me, or for me to ask you to ask your neighbor, but it is the question that I would like you to ask yourself. What are you going to choose? Are the temptations great? Oh, yes, they are. They're all around us. We have the temptation of fear. We have the temptation of security. We have the temptation of the love of money. And we have the temptation of the lusts of the flesh and power. It goes on and on. What is it that you are not willing to give up to follow our Heavenly Father? What is it that you are not willing to give up to depart the kingdoms of this world and the security and the benefits and the fulfillment of the lusts and the fear that they offer you? What is it that you are not willing to trust Him for that you are getting from the world? That's the question. What's holding you back? Some people, it's monetary, it's mammon, it's security. They can't give it up. They might lose their job. They might be ridiculed by their family and friends if they start following Him with all their heart and start putting off the ways of the world and the idolatry that has been brought in by the nations around us. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. What are you doing? Are you doing evil in the sight of our Creator? And you think, you know, most people think, well, it's just innocent. God wants me to be happy, so He doesn't require me to give up my security in the world. He doesn't require me to give up worshiping idols. You know, like, oh, it's so innocent. We're just having little baskets of eggs on Ashtaroth Day. God certainly doesn't want me to give that up, does He? And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you know what? I'll bet you they felt the same way. Oh, it's nothing if we take part in Ashtaroth. Because they had Ashtaroth. Yes, they did. And it was presented to them as, oh, this is harmless. There's nothing to this. Here, have a few eggs. Here, have some candy. Put it in a basket. Fertility is a good thing. It's something that God created. Yes, we are to worship the Creator rather than the creation. He created all things. We can't say, well, because He created it, we can worship it. No, we worship Him. We give Him thanks. We do not worship the creation and serve those things. We do not do evil. We come out. He calls us out from the evil. We are to leave it behind. And some, I'm sure there were, he had his remnant, he had his faithful in Israel at all times. People would not take part. People who read the word and stayed close with him. And we see that when a leader rose up like Deborah, people would follow her and the nation would follow her. And then Israel as a nation would please God. But the problem is, we as individuals have to please him. And we can't be followers of men. But we have to desire to live a life that is pleasing to our Creator. That's what it takes on an individual basis. So, we wonder why we end up in the hands of the Midians and serving them for years upon years. Why? Today is a wonderful day, isn't it? It's in, on the Pope's calendar, it's April the 15th. April the 15th on the Pope's calendar. What a wonderful day. The sun is shining. And, you know what? Also, I think this is the day that all of the slaves have to report to their master, or at least that one master that they all signed up. Because the master offered them something. He said, I'll take care of you when you get old. Or if something happens to you and you can't take care of yourself, I will take care of you. Just sign on the dotted line. Sign up for the benefits. Now, granted, I'm going to take your money, and then I'll give you back what I think you need to live on, and I might even take more than that so that you have to come back and report to me at the end of the year to get the more that I took than I agreed that you should give. That's what the master says. So you have to file a return. Oh, please, Massa, please return some of my money to me. And so you fill out your 1040 Inquisition form, because all slaves must report to their masters, mustn't they, in the land of the free and the home of the brave? Or is it the land of the fee and the home of the slave? You know what? You get to choose. This is the freest nation on the earth. You hear it all the time. It's the chant. Chant it. America, the home of the free. But don't forget to report to your master on the day your master says report, or you won't be free any longer. Yes, and you did it voluntarily. That's right. Nobody forced you to go down and sign that document. And you know what? Nobody will ever force you to go down and sign that document, at least not so far. There's no law that requires you to go and sign up for benefits with any organization. With any of these fictitious entities out there, they cannot require you to sign up for benefits. And why can't they require you to sign up for benefits? Well, then it would be unconstitutional, because this is the land of the free. And they can't require you to do something that you have a right not to do. And you know what? If it was really mandatory, then you wouldn't have to sign up for it. It's like murder. You know, the law against murder is mandatory. It applies to everybody across the board. You don't have to go and sign an agreement. If I murder, you can come and get me. Now, if you murder, they will come and get you, because that is mandatory. Because you have infringed upon the rights of another man. You've taken his life. You have robbed your neighbor of everything when you take his life. And the punishment, according to the law of God, is death. You don't have to sign up for that one. But any time you have to sign up for something, like benefits, like you sign up, you volunteer to sign up for, any time you sign up, you have to sign up for anything. You sign on the dotted line, or it does. You're not part of it, and you don't get it. It's called voluntary. Because if you don't sign, guess what? You don't volunteer. Does that make any sense to anybody? Or is there something wrong with my brain? Do I have brain damage or something? If I have to sign, it's voluntary. If I don't sign, then I have not volunteered. If they force me to sign, then I have been coerced into doing something that I didn't want to do. I did not volunteer. And you know what? I don't think that anyone has ever forced me to sign anything in my life. I ignorantly signed some things in my life because I thought I had to do what I was told, because I was brainwashed. But you know what? Now I am brainwashed. I washed all that indoctrination. I washed all of that programming out of my brain. And now I'm thinking clearly. And if someone asks me to sign something, I'm going to read it. And if I don't like it, I'm not going to sign it. And if they try to force me to sign it, well, I guess they'll have to break my fingers or kill me or throw me in prison. Because what they're trying to tell me is that I'm free to sign if they want my signature. But at the same time, they're telling me that I must sign it or they will harm me. Think about it, people. What have you signed up for? Perhaps you grew up as a slave. You know, in the old days when they had slavery, and you go back to the biblical law of slavery, if a woman had children and she was a slave, then her children belonged to her master because everything the woman had belonged to her master. And those children would grow up as slaves. Well, in America, it's not quite like that. Not just America. You can go to Canada, you can go to Europe. They've all got their little socialist security plan that they want you to sign up for. All of the nations where the bankers and their fiat monetary systems, you know, the great banking cartel, and their fiat monetary systems have taken over the money of the nation. They've got their little plan for benefits they want you to sign up for. And then your parents sign you up so they could take... They've really woven this net deeply, because it used to be, you know, when it first started, that everyone signed up when they went to work, but then they developed the returns so that the parents get more money back if they sign up their children. And you could do that a long time without getting your children a number. But then they changed the rules, so you had to get your children a number. You had to make them slaves, too. You had to volunteer your children for them. And so your parents volunteered you in when you were a child. That's what they're doing now. Now they're doing it at birth. So they keep moving it forward sooner and sooner. But when you become a man, when you become of age, if you don't question the relationship, if you don't say, now I'm a man, I am of age, and I don't want to be a participant in this. My parents volunteered me, and I don't want to be in it. I object. So you object. And if you object, that means you don't use the number that identifies you with the voluntary benefit system that you were signed up into. You want to unvolunteer to be a slave. See, now, in the old days, you could not unvolunteer because you were not a free man. You were not born a free man. But somehow, today we are supposed to have, equal rights, equal justice, access to the law. We're all supposed to be equal. And if we want to volunteer out, I think we should be able to. I don't see why not. All you have to do is stop using it, stop identifying it, and quit everything that identifies you as part of the world system. You know, what does the Bible say? That we are in the world, but not of it. So what makes the difference? How are you in the world and not of it? Well, you're of it if you're identified with it as belonging to it. If you separate yourself from it, then are you of it anymore? No. If I sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, if my citizenship is in heaven, if I have crossed the border into his kingdom and put off all the things that tied me to the world system, I mean truly come out so that my identity is only in him, then I'm free from the things of the world. And you know, it works the same way with all of the other sins. See, now that's the sin of seeking security from another god. And that's also the sin of fear, because then you become afraid, because now you have to operate in the world without all of the cards and identification and all of the things that the world wants you to have. See, because you volunteer, and if enough people volunteer into these things, then the policy enforcers feel like they have more power, and they try to use force and fear against those who don't volunteer or want to withdraw from their system. So fear keeps people in line. Fear keeps the slaves in their slavery. Okay, we're going into a little break here. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Glory and praise. We lift up your
fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going through Judges, of course, taking occasion, it being the 15th day of April on the Pope's calendar. That is the calendar that the world follows. I got a friend, Troy Miller. He says that whoever's in charge is in charge of the calendar. It's a telling tale, isn't it? Okay, we're in Judges chapter 6, and we were talking about the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, regardless, even though, with a wonderful history, the short history of the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt, entering the land, and forgetting all about their heritage, they turn to idolatry, and the Heavenly Father constantly allows them to fall into slavery. Where has America's freedom gone? You know, where? We have forgotten our beginnings. People, if you talk about liberty today, they think you're crazy. If you talk about a right to travel even, they think you're nuts. Of course you have to go down and get a slave number
so that you can get a driver's license, and then you can pay the protection racket, the legalized protection racket, so that you can travel in an automobile. That's right. That insurance that you call that protection racket money, 92% of that is all profit. It all goes for the overhead and those million-dollar, multi-million-dollar bonuses that you hear about on AIG that everybody got so upset about. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you what. Nobody's really upset about it because they keep paying it. You can get upset all you want. Just keep paying it every day, every month, every year. You know, you're paying a dollar or two a day or three, whatever they can get out of you every day. For what? So that some men can get rich and that 8% or less goes to actual compensation to repair damages? And 92%? I mean, this is outrageous. And people just go along. Because of fear, they do not protest, and the only adequate protest is to stop paying it. And of course, I know that there's a lot of people out there that are not paying it, and especially in these times, because a lot of people, especially city dwellers, can't afford to pay it because their premiums are so high. So I think it's they've numbered it in excess of 45% of people that live in the city have no automobile insurance. Well, what about the rest of us out here? You know, what about the rest of us? Why is anybody paying this extortion? You know, protection rackets are supposed to be against the law. But because we have legislators who got paid off, got money for their campaigns, or however the influence was made by the insurance companies, now it's mandated that you have to pay protection fees, which is limited liability, which is against God's law. God's law calls for, compensation, direct liability, not limited liability. And that's what one of the lamb-like principles that was enforced in this country to begin with through the courts was direct liability. You damage, you pay the damage, you compensate. Well, we're going way too far here from our study. Let's jump back in. Israel. Now, the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the children of Israel had did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they came up like grasshoppers, and they took all their sustenance away. And in chapter 6 and verse 6 of Judges, it says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto Yahuwah." They cried unto the Lord. Now, in the land where I live today, we're so impoverished. We're having such a financial crisis. Crisis, crisis, crisis. Hear it every day. In these bad financial times, I look around, you know, it seems like a fairly rich land to me. I mean, the supermarkets are full of food. These people have no clue what crisis is. But it's a manufactured crisis to further control the people. And I'm sure it's somewhat real for some, but all the crisis does is make them run to their God and say, "Oh, great God, Uncle Sam, Obama, whatever you want to call him. Oh, great mouth of the beast, Obama. Pay my mortgage, you know. Give me food stamps. Give me a welfare check so I can, you know, pay my rent." So they go to their God. You know what? Israel didn't have that kind of government. That kind of government system was against the law in the time that we're reading about here in Judges. So they couldn't do that. It says Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and they only had one place to turn. And the children of Israel cried unto Yahuwah. They cried, as it says here in the Authorized King James Version, they cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. You know what, Heavenly Father, I pray that these people have nowhere to turn. That means the government is going to have to fail. The government, and you know what, I believe the government is well on the road to failing. I mean, look at the trillions of dollars they're collecting. And speaking of it being, you know, the 1040 Inquisition Day, where everyone's got to get in their 1040 Inquisition forms in to report all of their economic activity to their Mesta, you have to realize that the Mesta doesn't need your money. I mean, look at, they just created, you know, $1 trillion a couple times over in the past year. And they gave it to all their friends in the insurance industry who are making more than a 90% profit on money that they're collecting from every single one of you. Does this make any sense at all? Is this too hard to see? I mean, it's as easy as 2 plus 2 equals 4 as far as I'm concerned. And yet the economy is tightening up. But where's all these trillions of dollars? It's not out here where the people are at. The economy is constricting again. Huh. What's going on here? They don't need your money. And besides, most of you are filing to get money back. Where are they going to get the money from? Are they going to get it from the trillions of dollars that they just created? Huh. And if they don't have any money, how can they give you money back? They just move some digits to your account on an ever-changing monetary system of unjust weight and balance, an abomination to our Heavenly Father. Because He said, a just weight and a balance is mine. I can't help it. Because it's just here, you know. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They didn't have abomination to cry to. They didn't have Uncle Sam. They couldn't go down. There was no welfare office. They had to rely on themselves and their families, and if that failed, all they could do was cry unto their God. So I'm praying, let it fail. They're destroying it right now. They will continue to destroy it as long as the people cry unto the government. Oh, please, please. Because the government is, guess what they're going to have to do? The government is going to have to enslave you into forced labor because they're going to run out of funny, illusory money or the wealth and the labor that they're robbing from the other nations like China and other nations where people work for pennies an hour. So that they can, they're borrowing money from these other nations, they're robbing the labor from these other nations to give you welfare, to create programs, to throw money into the economy. And of course, they're all corrupt. They're not following the Lord our God. They're not loving their neighbors themselves. They don't care about defrauding their neighbor or stealing. So they steal most of the money anyway before it ever gets to the people. So the day is coming where the people in the land where I live, just like Israel, in the day that we're reading about here in Judges, the government's going to fail. It's not going to have anything left because the other nations are going to become wise. And they are becoming wise as the nation, as America becomes more impoverished. Uncle Sam and the government and the welfare office are all going to close down someday. It can't work. It just can't go on forever, can it? But people believe it can. They don't believe that starvation can come here. They don't believe that those things that happened in Africa and Sudan and the other nations can come here. Oh, it can't come near us. But if it can happen anywhere else, you better believe it can happen here. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can't tell you when, but I can see it. I can read the signs of the time. It will come, and it's on its way. You better trust in Yahuwah. You better call on Him now, or I don't think you're going to like the outcome. You better start listening to Him now. You better start learning to lean on Him rather than the hand and the arm of flesh, rather than looking to government as your God, as your provider. You need to look to Him, but you need to be obedient to Him too. Or you can't enter His kingdom. If you don't want to be obedient to Him, there's no place for you in the kingdom of heaven. There's all these people, oh, God won't let me go to hell, I'm better than that other guy. You wouldn't like heaven. You will choose hell. As a matter of fact, you're choosing it right now because you hate God's law. Oh, but you would never say, you go to church every Sunday and you say, oh, but I love God so much. Yes, I love God, but I'm free to worship Ashtaroth. And I'm free to follow after Mammon. I'm free to look at these other gods, these idols for these fictitious entities for benefits to take care of me. Because, of course, we can't trust God for that. We can't put that in His hands. We can't live by His law. We can't set up His kingdom government here on earth. We can't follow His structure for our family governments. We can't do all that. No. But I want to go to heaven when I die. There's a little contradiction there, isn't there? There certainly is. So anyway, we have here reported in Judges, Israel was greatly impoverished. So remember that when your impoverishment comes and you go and you cry to your great gods of men and they have nothing for you. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am Yahuwah your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. They feared other gods, but you have not obeyed my voice. Listen to what he says. He says, I said unto you, I, Yahuwah, I, the Lord, am your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. The gods of the Amorites were men in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which is in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of Yahuwah appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if Yahuwah be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now has Yahuwah hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And Yahuwah said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set before thee, he said. And he said, I will tarry until you come again. And Gideon went in, and he made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes, and ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon the rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of Yahuwah, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of Yahuwah face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Yahuwah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." Wow. So his father had an altar to Baal and in a grove. And he said, "Cut down the grove that is by it, and built an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as Yahuwah had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. Now, you know, if something like this was to happen today, well, perhaps they would go down and during the night, and they would cut down one of these altars to these pagan gods out here, and they would burn it. And you see what was going on here. I mean, right in the land of Israel, they raised up altars to these false gods, and these are the children of Israel. This is Gideon's own father. So the men come out early in the morning, and behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. They said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked and said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing," then the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." Yes, there he was. And they were going to get him on vandalism and destruction of somebody else's property, and probably terrorism and a hate crime, you know? I was bringing it up into a little more contemporary vernacular there for you to give you an idea of what's going on here. And that's what they would charge him with today. And of course, now they just heap charges upon charges, so that they're just hoping they can get as many to stick as they can. That's how they operate today. Of course, for the prosecutors today, bearing false witness against their neighbor is not a commandment to them. As a matter of fact, it's a way of life. It's a commandment that they do bear false witness against their neighbor. Thou shalt bear false witness against your neighbor. That's the commandment to all prosecutors today. Thou shalt convict him as many crimes as possible, whether he's committed them or not. That's the commandment they follow today. That's the altar of Baal. Come on, let's be real here. Because the altar of Baal is all over the place today. We just don't recognize it. They do serve and worship the dragon. So, anyway, they want to put Gideon to death. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." So Joash stands up and says, "Hey, let Baal plead for himself, if he is a god." Interesting. "Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, 'Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar.' Then all the Midianites and all the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel." Well, what's going on here? You know, perhaps, see, Israel 7 years under the hands of the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. What did they do? Did they come in and build these altars and require that people pay their tribute at them in the land? And perhaps they would hire people in the land. Got a job for you. It pays good. You get to keep a portion of everything you collect. And they would collect there at the altars. You know, they put them under tribute. Is that how it worked? Trying to get an idea here of how this works. And we can see that's how it works today. Because we have the those that work for the gods of this world all over the place. They have their policy enforcers. The policy enforcers come out. And they're looking for people that aren't worshiping Baal, paying their tribute to the false gods. And they take them to their altars. And their high priest stands up in his black robe and finds them and threatens them with prison and makes them sign documents by force, which if they don't sign, no, they will get in jail, thrown in jail for contempt. And we talked about that forced signature thing, didn't we? Well, here we go, the end of this hour. The hours go by fast here on Cross the Border. We will be back, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for the news.
Make a bandage. Get the oil. Pour some water and bring a clean rag. But the brother is lying here with a broken back, and the bones are showing through. But all you know to do is dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. You dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. Reach the dial, tune it in. Christian radio plays your favorite songs again. With a family next door suffering from the lack of food, all you want to hear right now is a song to change your mood. And you dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. Oh, oh. You dress the wound of as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. And how dare I come in here like a pompous young man? How dare I make remarks as if I knew the master plan? Where's my authority? My pastor goes. As though